Welcome to the Central Media Office of Hizb al-Tahrir's English podcast. Where has the relentless slaughter of Darfur reached? Araya Newspaper, Issue 589, March 4, 2026, by Ustad Ibrahim Uthman Abu Khalid. In a sudden development, the Rapid Support Forces, RSF, attacked and took control of Damra Mustariha in North Darfur State on Monday, February 23, 2026. This area belongs to Musa Hilal, the leader of the Mahamid tribe and head of the so-called Revolutionary Awakening Council, after they bombed the area with drones on Sunday, February 22, 2026. Although Musa Hilal openly declared his support for the army, he did not participate in the war against the Rapid Support Forces, RSF. He remained in his region throughout the conflict, and reports indicate that he fled to Chad after his area was overrun. There are also reports confirming the death of one of his sons and the wounding of another. It is worth noting that Musa Hilal was previously considered an instrument of the former regime, having fought alongside it against the movements that are now fighting alongside the government under the banner of the Joint Forces. Al-Bashir had appointed him as an advisor to the Ministry of Federal Governance in 2008. Musa Hilal founded the so-called Revolutionary Awakening Council in 2014 and later clashed with the government, particularly after the emergence of the RSF led by Muhammad Hamdan Diallo, who had previously served in Hilal's militia. Hilal engaged in military confrontations with the RSF in 2017, which resulted in his arrest, trial, and imprisonment. He was released in 2021 following a pardon from the Sovereignty Council. The question is, why did the government sacrifice him and delay in helping him, which allowed the RSF to carry out their latest operations at this time? It is known that America's plan through this war is to separate Darfur at the hands of its agent Muhammad Hamdan Diallo, Hamadati. Recently, there has been much talk about a truce between the army and the RSF, which means that there is an American intention to put all of Darfur in the hands of the RSF. Therefore, the presence of Musa Hilal in Darfur, who has armed forces, in addition to his status as a tribal leader, may hinder any future negotiations. Therefore, America instructed its agent, Hamadati, to get rid of him so that only some small pockets remain in Darfur, such as the El-Tina border region with Chad, which the RSF are trying to control, despite facing fierce resistance from the people of the region, especially since this region is considered a stronghold for the forces of Minawi and Jibril. As for the remaining battlefronts, particularly in Kordofan, fighting has been virtually at a standstill for over 2 months, save for occasional drone and air operations conducted by the RSF and the army. This effectively amounts to a truce, albeit an undeclared one, despite repeated statements from the army leadership that they will not accept any negotiations until the RSF are eliminated. However, America insists that this war will not end in a military victory for either side, confirming its pursuit of its criminal plan to separate Darfur. As for why America has not imposed a truce yet, despite Mossad Bulo's repeated talk about it, it is a way of conditioning people to accept a truce in light of the prolonged state of neither war nor peace that still dominates the situation on the ground today. Mossad Bulo, the U.S. senior advisor for Arab and African affairs, has identified 5 points for international coordination to end the war during the UN Security Council briefing on Sudan, held on Thursday, February 19, 2026, to discuss the crisis in Sudan. In a post on the X platform, he stressed the urgent need to end more than 1,000 days of pointless conflict. He made remarks at the briefing, which was chaired by British Foreign Secretary Yvette Cooper, in a clear and unified message. Quote, "There is also no military solution to this conflict. We are working to press for an immediate humanitarian truce and without preconditions." The Sudanese Foreign Ministry responded in a statement to Bolos's remarks, saying that putting forward or presenting any proposals does not necessarily mean that the government accepts or agrees to them. This language does not necessarily imply rejection. The phrase does not necessarily mean acceptance or agreement. Can be understood as allowing for acceptance and agreement, as it can be read as, quote, does not necessarily mean rejection. If they were rejecting the truce proposed by Bolos, they would have explicitly stated that they would not accept any proposals or suggestions from any external party, especially since the foreign ministry statement speaks of considering the supreme interests of the country, Sudanese national security, full national sovereignty, the unity of Sudanese territory, the unity of its institutions, and its territorial integrity. The Sudanese foreign ministry emphasized that Sudan is a sovereign state and makes its positions and decisions based on its supreme national interests. One fails to understand how sovereignty and independent decision-making can be discussed when America is leading Sudan by the reins, driving it towards division and fragmentation, following the same scenario as South Sudan, ultimately leading to its cessation through negotiations and an agenda imposed on the country's leaders. As acknowledged by its then-president, al-Bashir, who stated, quote, America is the one who separated the South. We do not want to hear the phrase, quote, America is the one who separated Darfur later on. All those concerned about the unity of Sudan and the independence of its decision must work seriously to prevent the separation of Darfur and not be fooled so that America can implement its diabolical plan to tear Sudan apart. As Muslims, our fundamental principle is that we should not allow non-Muslims to interfere in our affairs, regardless of the circumstances, because they are enemies of Islam and Muslims. This is especially true of America, which has already harmed us. How can we allow it to harm us again? A Muslim does not accept non-Muslim interference in his affairs. When the glory of Islam was at its peak, Muawiyah refused the help of the Byzantine emperor, who tried to exploit the state of war and enmity between him and Ali bin Abi Talib, radiallahu anh. The emperor sent a message to Muawiyah saying, "We have learned of what has transpired between you and Ali bin Abi Talib. We believe that you are more deserving of the Khilafah, Caliphate, than him. If you command me, I will send you an army that will bring you Ali's head." Muawiyah's response to the Byzantine emperor was of these devastating words. Two brothers quarreled. What business is it of yours to interfere between them? If you do not remain silent, I will send you an army, the first of which will be with you and the last with me, and they will bring me your head, which I will present to Ali. This is what glory was, and this is what independent authority is. We will not enjoy true independence under these man-made systems that are subservient to the disbelieving colonialist West and subject to its decisions and conspiracies, unless we return to our Islam and establish our lives on its basis, under its state, the Khilafah Rashida, rightly guided caliphate, on the method of prophethood. Official spokesman of Hizb ut-Tahrir in Wilaya, Sudan.